Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, May the 6th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to show us the events that are taking place around us day by day, and for the warnings that you give. We ask that you would continue to prepare us and strengthen us as you remind us daily of the necessary preparation that must be had. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at the events that are taking place around us, we are reminded of the fact that we have been warned that Sabbath keepers will be indeed persecuted, in some cases killed. I thought I would read an article that is found in the I Am Redeemed website. That is, I Am Redeemed website, published August the 16th, 2017. Now, actually, the article really is a compilation of a number of Spirit of Prophecy quotes that I thought would be useful here. And I think that we should share that today as we look at what we have been told. We have been warned in advance of what will happen. The title of the article is Death to Sabbath Keepers. That is, Death to Sabbath Keepers. The I Am Redeemed website, August the 16th, 2017. Here are those quotations. The first one is Selected Messages, Book 3, page 385, which says, "The two armies that shall stand distinct and separate, and this distinction will be so marked that many who shall be convinced of the truth will come on the side of God's commandment-keeping people. When this grand work is to take place in the battle, prior to the last closing of conflict, many will be imprisoned, many will flee for their lives from cities and towns, and many will be martyrs for Christ's sake in standing in defense of the truth. You will not be tempted above what you are able to bear. Jesus bore all of this and far more." The Great Controversy, page 604, says, "The powers of earth, uniting to war against the commandments of God, will decree that all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, shall conform to the customs of the church by the observance of the false Sabbath. All who refuse compliance will be visited with civil penalties, and it will finally be declared that they are deserving of death." Testimony to Ministers, page 473, says, "But our principal concern is to silence this sect of Sabbath keepers." Now, this is Satan talking. "We must excite popular indignation against them. We will enlist great men and worldly wise men upon our side and induce those in authority to carry out our purposes. Then the Sabbath which I have set up shall be enforced by laws the most severe and exacting. Those who disregard them shall be driven out from the cities and villages and made to suffer hunger and privation. When once we have the power, we will show what we can do with those who will not swerve from their allegiance to God. We led the Romish churches to inflict imprisonment, torture, and death upon those who refused to seek to yield to her decrees. And now that we are bringing the Protestant churches and the world into harmony with the right arm of our strength, we will finally have a law to exterminate all who will not submit to our authority. When death shall be made the penalty of violating our Sabbath, then many who are now ranked with Sabbath keepers will come over to our side." The SDA Commentary, Volume 7, page 968, says, "When the fifth seal was opened, John the Revelator in vision saw beneath the altar the company that were slain for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. After this came the scenes described in the 18th of Revelation, when those who are faithful and true are called out from Babylon." Now notice, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar of the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Maranatha, page 209, says, I saw our people in great distress, weeping and praying, pleading the sure promises of God, while the wicked were all around us, mocking us and threatening to destroy us. They ridiculed our feebleness. They mocked at the smallness of our numbers and taunted us with the words calculated to cut deep. They charged us with taking an independent position from all the rest of the world. They had cut off our resources so that we could not buy or sell, and referred to our abject poverty and stricken condition. They could not see how we could live without the world. We were independent upon the world. We were dependent upon the world, and must concede to the customs, practices, and laws of the world, or go out of it. If we were the only people in the world whom the Lord favored, the appearance were awfully against us. They declared that they had the truth, that miracles were among them, that angels from heaven talked with them and walked with them, that great power and signs and wonders were performed among them, and this was the temporal millennium which they had been expecting so long. The whole world was converted and in harmony with the Sunday law, and this little feeble people stood out in defiance of the laws of the land and the laws of God, and claimed to be the only ones on the right path. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 9, page 231, says, the remnant church will be brought into great trial and distress. Those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus will feel the ire of the dragon and his hosts. Satan numbers the world as his subjects. He has gained control of the apostate churches. But here is a little company that are resisting his supremacy. If he could blot them from the earth, his triumphs would be complete. As he influenced the heathen nation to destroy Israel, so in the near future he will stir up the wicked powers of earth to destroy the people of God. All will be required to render obedience to human edicts in violation of the divine law. Those who will be true to God and to duty will be menaced, denounced, and proscribed. They will be betrayed by both parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. When the Sabbath shall become the special point of controversy throughout Christendom, the persistent refusal of a small minority to yield to the popular demand will make them objects of universal execration. Satan will excite indignation against the humble remnant who conscientiously refuse to accept the customs and traditions of error. Blinded by the prince of darkness, popular religionists will see only as he sees and feel as he feels. They will determine as he determines and oppress as he has oppressed. Liberty of conscience, which cost this nation so great a sacrifice, will no longer be respected. The church and the world will reunite, and the world will lend to the church her power to crush out the right of the people to worship God according to his word. It will be urged that the few who stand in opposition to an institution of the church and a law of the state ought not be tolerated, that it is better for them to suffer than for whole nations to be thrown into confusion and lawlessness. The argument will appear conclusive, and against those who hallow the Sabbath of the fourth commandment will finally be issued a decree denouncing them as deserving of the severest punishment, and giving the people liberty after a certain time to put them to death. And that is also found in Signs of the Times, Volume 4, page 502. Listen to what is found in the book called An Adventist Apocalypse on page 268. Men trample underfoot God's law and say to the people, as the Jews said to Christ, we have a law, and by our law he should die. Over and over this will be repeated in the courts. Christ tells us that in the world we shall have tribulation, but that in him we shall have peace. Those who live in the last days of this world's history will know what it means to be persecuted for the truth's sake. Injustice will prevail in the courts. The judges will refuse to listen to the reasons of those who are loyal and true to the commandments of God, and will say, we have a law, and by our law you ought to die. God's law is nothing to them. Our law with them is supreme. Those who respect this human law will be favored, But those who will not bow to their idol Sabbath have no favor shown them. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. That's Revelation chapter 13 and verse 15. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 says, And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of men that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Laws will be made condemning Sabbath keepers to death. In addition, many death sentences will be carried out through national and international criminal court systems. Yet it seems probable that many, many martyrs of God will seal their fate by their blood as they are witnessing. Others will be cut down by angry mobs, while still others will be murdered as they go about their daily lives. Others will be formally tried and sentenced to death by corrupt courts of law. These atrocities are already taking place, as individuals and even whole groups of people are killed for religious and ethnic reasons, from Rwanda to Yugoslavia. If this is happening now, in a supposed enlightened age, what more when God's people become objects of universal hatred and scorn, and Satan has control of men who have rejected Christ and his law? In the book Spiritual Gifts, Volume 4b, which was published in 1864, written in 1864, the topic of that chapter is Great Distress is Coming, and God's people are not prepared for it. Listen to this. I saw greater distress in the land than we have yet witnessed. I heard groans and cries of distress. I saw large companies in active battle. I heard the booming of the cannon, the clash of arms, the hand-to-hand fight. I heard the groans and prayers of the dying. The ground was covered with the wounded and the dead. I saw desolate, despairing families and pinching want in many dwellings. I saw that even now many families are suffering want, but this will increase. The faces of many families look haggard, pale, and pinched with hunger. I was shown that the people of God should be closely united in the bonds of Christian fellowship and love. God alone can be our shield and strength in this time of our national calamities. The people of God should awake. Their opportunities to spread the truth should be improved, for they will not thus last long. I was shown distress and perplexity and famine in the land, and Satan is now seeking to hold God's people in a state of inactivity, to keep them from acting their part in spreading the truth, and that they may be at last weighed in the balance and found wanting. I saw that God's people must take warning and discern the signs of the times. The signs of Christ's coming are too plain to be doubted, and in view of these things, everyone who professes the truth should be living preachers. God calls upon all to awake. Preachers and people must awake. All heaven is astir. The scenes of this earth's history are fast closing. We are amid the perils of the last days. Greater perils are before us, and yet we are not awake. This lack of activity and earnestness in the cause of God is dreadful. This death stupor is from Satan. He controls the minds of unconsecrated Sabbath keepers and leads them to be jealous of each other, fault-finding and censorious. It is Satan's special work to divide hearts, that the influence, strength, and labor of God's servants may be kept among unconsecrated Sabbath keepers, and precious time be occupied to settle little differences which should be spent in proclaiming to unbelievers the truth. I was shown God's people waiting for some change to take place, a compelling power to take hold of them, but they will be disappointed. They are wrong. They must act. They must take hold of the work themselves and earnestly cry unto God for a knowledge, a true knowledge of themselves. The scenes which are passing before us are of sufficient magnitude to cause us to arouse. In view of these things, we must urge the truth home to the hearts of all whom we can get to listen to it. The harvest of the earth is nearly ripe. I was shown how important that ministers be right who engage in the solemn responsibility of their work of proclaiming the third angel's messages. The Lord is not straitened for means or instruments to do his work. He can speak at any time by whom he will, and his word is powerful and will accomplish the thing whereunto it is sent. But if the truth has not sanctified and made pure and clean the hands and hearts of him who ministers in holy things, he is liable to speak according to his own imperfection. And when he speaks of himself, according to the decisions of his own unsanctified judgment, his counsel is not then of God, but of himself. As he that is called of God is called to be holy, so he that is approved and set apart of men must give evidence of his holy calling, and show forth to his heavenly conversation and conduct that he is faithful to him who has called him. I saw that there were fearful ones for those who preach the truth and are not sanctified by it. And there are woes also for those who consent to receive and maintain the unsanctified to minister to them in word and doctrine. I am alarmed for the people of God who profess to believe solemn, important truth. For I know that many who now profess to believe the truth are not converted nor sanctified through that truth. Men can hear the acknowledge the whole truth and yet know nothing of the power of godliness. All who carry the truth will not themselves be saved by the truth they preach. Said the angel, "Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." I saw that the time has come when those who choose the Lord for their present and future portions must trust in him alone. Everyone professing godliness must have an experience of their own. The recording angel is making a faithful record of the words and acts of God's people. Angels are watching the development of character and weighing moral worth. I saw that those who profess to believe the truth should be right themselves and exert all their influence to enlighten and win others to the truth. Their words and works are the channels through which the pure principles of truth and holiness are conveyed to the world. They are the salt of the earth and the light thereof. I saw that in looking heavenward, we should see light and peace, but in looking to the world, we shall see that every refuge must soon fail us, and every good soon pass away. There is no help for us but in God, and in this state of earth's confusion, we cannot be composed, strong, or safe only in the strength of living faith, nor can be in peace only as we rest in God and wait for his salvation. Greater light shines upon us than shone upon our fathers. We cannot be accepted or honored of God in rendering the same service or doing the same works our fathers have done. In order to be accepted and blessed of God as our fathers were, we must initiate their faithfulness and zeal, improve our light as they improve theirs, and do as they would have done if they had lived in our day. We must improve and walk in the light which shines upon us. Otherwise, our light will become darkness. God requires us to exhibit to the world in our character and works that measure of the spirit, union, and oneness which are in accordance with the sacred truths we possess, and the spirit of those prophecies that are being fulfilled in these last days. The truth which has reached our understanding, the light that has shone on our soul, will judge and condemn us if we turn away and refuse to be led by them. Question: what shall I say to arouse the remnant people of God? I was shown that dreadful scenes are before us, and Satan and his angels are bringing all their powers to bear upon God's people. He knows if they sleep a little longer, he is sure of them, for their destruction is certain. I warn all who profess the name of Christ to closely examine themselves and make full and thorough confessions of all their wrongs, and let them go beforehand to judgment, that oppose their names the recording angels may write pardon. These precious souls will be indeed transformed and rescued if they are repentant of their sin. if you will make no special effort to arouse, if you will not manifest zeal in repenting, these golden moments will soon pass, and you will be weighed in the balance and found wanting, and then your agonizing cries will be of no avail. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall ye they call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, and they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Today God is warning us. And as I've read these quotations for you today, I want you to understand that everything that God has said will come to pass, will come to pass. The persecutions have already begun in other parts of the world. They're not as intense as they will be in the future. But you and I must be strengthened by the will of God and the word of God. And we have an opportunity today to turn from our wicked ways and ask for forgiveness and to be fully repentant of our sins and to hate sin and hate iniquity so that we might walk according to the will of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to accept that warning and listen to your word and follow the instruction as you have given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, May the 6th, 2019.